Shalom, and thank you for listening at BethEmmanuel.org. At Beth Emmanuel, we teach Messianic Judaism for all nations. If you find these teachings helpful, please share them with your friends and family. Help us advance the teachings of the kingdom, and remember to support Beth Emmanuel with your prayers and financial gifts.
Congratulations, Beth Emmanuel, on 10 years of ministry. Yeah. 10 years of labor in the kingdom of heaven. And tonight is the, like I said, it's the first night of the happy festival of Hanukkah. So, it kind of is a double rejoicing. It's a time of thanksgiving already. A time of thanksgiving for the miracles that God performed in the days of the Hasmoneans, in the days of the Maccabees. Those Hasmonean priests who led a rebellion against the evil Seleucid Empire and liberated the Holy Temple from the clutches of the wicked Antiochus Epiphanes, who had desecrated God's holy house by transforming it into a house of idol worship and erecting an idol of Zeus in the holy place. An abomination of desolation, as I told the children, standing where it does not belong, and sacrificing unclean animals on the sacred stones of God's holy altar. Now, this wicked Antiochus Epiphanes decreed against the practice of Torah. He forbade circumcision. He forbade the study of Torah. He forced the Jewish people to abandon the dietary laws. He even forced them to eat unclean meat. And those who refused were put to death. And he did not allow them to keep the Sabbath or the holidays. And he forced them to worship idols. In short, the spirit of the Antichrist was within him. When the Hasmonean freedom fighters, who are called Hammers, that is the Maccabees, drove the wicked Seleucids out of Jerusalem, they seized the temple, threw down the idols, cleansed it of its filth, and dismantled the profaned altar. They built a new altar. They built a makeshift menorah out of iron bars, and they lit it up. They fired it up, and then they celebrated for 8 days the rededication of the altar, the Hanukkah HaMizbeach. As the book of Maccabees, 1 Maccabees says, they kept the Hanukkah, the dedication of the altar, 8 days. And they offered burnt offerings with gladness. And they sacrifice the sacrifice of deliverance and praise. And they decked the forefront of the temple with crowns of gold, with shields, and the gates and the chambers they renewed, and they rehung the doors on them. And there was very great gladness among the people that the reproach of the heathen was put away. And moreover, Judah Maccabee and his brethren and the whole congregation of Israel ordained that the days of the Hanukkah, the dedication of the altar, should be kept in their season from year to year by the space of 8 days, from the 5 and 20th day of the month of Kislev, which is tonight, with mirth and gladness. So it says, 1 Maccabees 4:56 to 59. That is the origin of the glad festival of lights, which the whole Jewish world celebrates this week, beginning tonight. And we too here at Beth Emmanuel join with all Israel and all of our brothers and sisters in the Messianic Jewish movement across the world in celebrating the 8 days of Hanukkah, which is a privilege. It's a big blessing. What a blessing. It's amazing when you think about it, how good it is. We get to light the Hanukkah? Think about this. We get to rejoice for 8 days in honor of the Holy Temple, in honor of the altar, in honor of God's holy house. Last Sunday night, I was teaching a class, and we were learning a little bit about Hanukkah, and someone posed this good question regarding the Hanukkah menorah, the Hanukkah. So why can't you use the light of the Hanukkah menorah to illumine your home for any other purpose? Let me explain. This is the rule. There is a rule that when you light a Hanukkah menorah, the 9-branched candelabra, that you aren't supposed to use the light for any ordinary use at all, which is counterintuitive. I would have thought that the best thing I could do to keep the spirit of Hanukkah would be to have all the other lights in the house off or dimmed down and light up that Hanukkah menorah and then sit in the quiet, warm glow of the menorah and use the light of the menorah to read the Psalms, to pray through the Psalms or read the scriptures or something, which sounds very holy, very appropriate. You know, sort of a, could make a Hallmark card out of that. But on the contrary, the rule states that one must not use the light of the Hanukkah for anything other than decoration. So it's supposed to be at the door. In the days of the apostles, you would set this thing out the front door, out your front door, opposite the mezuzah, on the opposite side of the doorpost as the mezuzah. So it was supposed to be light in the street, not in your home. And so today, nowadays, it's set in the window so that it can be seen from the outside. But it's not used to illumine the inside of the house. It's for decoration, for enjoyment, just to look pretty. So that's why you have a ninth candle burning, a shamash candle, because it provides the ordinary light that you can use. You're not supposed to even use the light of the other eight lamps, the Hanukkah lights, for anything. That's what the shamash is for, the ninth one, the servant candle, the servant lamp. So why is this? What's the big deal? The answer is that the Hanukkah lights have a specific purpose, which is to proclaim the miracle of Hanukkah. A big miracle happened there. And if you use the light for anything else, you are misusing them. Using the light for something that it is not intended. And this is because the Hanukkah lights are connected directly to the light of the menorah that burned in the Holy Temple. You know, the story of the miracle of the oil that burned for 8 days, and hence 8 days of Hanukkah and the burning of lamps and the lighting of lamps and all of this sort of thing. One day's supply of oil burned for 8 days, and the Hanukkah lights commemorate that miracle, and they represent, therefore, the illumination of the light of the menorah in the temple. You see, there's a connection. You can imagine like sort of an invisible line, an invisible spiritual conduit between the menorah that burned in the temple and your Hanukkah. So it's actually, you know, I don't know if you knew this, and people usually don't know this, it's actually forbidden to burn a menorah, to light a menorah, to have it even, in some opinions. So a you can go to like a Judaica shop sometimes and buy a seven-branched lamp, but actually they're not kosher. It's not kosher to have a seven-branched lamp. Why? Because the seven-branched lamp is sacrosanct to the temple. Just like the Torah forbids us to make priestly garments, you know, if I dress up as a high priest, you know, if I was to actually, I mean, it'd be one thing to make a costume, but if I really made priestly garments with the weave and that sort of thing, that would be forbidden. I can't wear those. That's for the high priest, you know. So that's forbidden, you know, or even to make the weave of the fibers of the way that the Torah prescribes weaving the fibers of the fabrics in the tabernacle. It forbids using the Torah's recipes for incense and anointing oil, which you'd think, you know, you could really sell a lot of those on Christian TV. You know, if you would, you know, this is the actual temple incense, you know, order, you know, that sort of thing. We could make a ton of money. But this is forbidden. The Torah explicitly forbids that you cannot do this, you cannot use these things, you cannot misuse these things because they're holy. That's what holy is. But the eight-branched Hanukkah, nine if you count the shamash, is perfectly acceptable. It's not the menorah. It's not sacrosanct in the sense that the menorah is the seven-branch menorah. Yet it is symbolically and spiritually connected to the seven-branch menorah of the temple that burned in the temple, the Or Olam, it was called, the light of the world. So that when you light a Hanukkah, it's as if, in a small way, you are lighting the temple menorah. And the light of the menorah, here's the thing, the light of the menorah is holy. It is holy. Even though your nine-branched thing, your, you know, whatever, you might have made it out of Play-Doh, your little Hanukkah, It is not holy itself, but the light that comes from it, because it's connected to the menorah in commemoration of the menorah, it is holy. And so it can't be used for anything else. Something that's holy is not to be used for any normal, ordinary, or profane purpose. And that's why we say this meditation after lighting the Hanukkah. We say, for all 8 days of Hanukkah, these lights are holy. They're sacred. We are not permitted to use them for ordinary light, but only to look at them in order to thank and praise your great name for your miracles, for your wonders, and for your salvations. Wow. I think that's pretty cool. What an amazing privilege to bring the light of the temple into our own homes. A little bit of the illumination of God's holy house. I mean, think about it. I'm not a priest. I'm not a Kohen. I'm not even a Levite. I get to bring the light of the temple into my home. I mean, how cool is that? That's amazing. I'm not even Jewish. What a privilege for me to be able to participate in. You know, if I lived in the days of the Holy Temple, I couldn't even go past the Soreg. I couldn't even go into the court of the women. You know, I couldn't lay my eyes on the altar. Much less, even if I was an Israelite, I couldn't go into the temple itself and see the menorah and see the light of the menorah. I wouldn't be allowed. The Torah doesn't allow it. But I get to enjoy a little bit of light from the holy temple. That is so cool. That's why when you light the Hanukkah, for half an hour afterwards, you're not supposed to be doing other stuff. I mean, the temptation is to do other stuff. The temptation is to make latkes. Let's make latkes. The Hanukkah is lit. Now let's make the latkes. But you're supposed to enjoy the light and sing. Sing some songs and enjoy life just for half an hour. Half an hour. About 5:30 p.m., 6 p.m., whenever you get the thing lit, you know, preferably as close to sunset as possible. Half an hour. Enjoy one another. And enjoy Hashem for half an hour while the Hanukkah burns. That's Hanukkah. It begins tonight. 10 years ago, on the first day of Hanukkah, Shabbat Kislev, Kislev 25, 57, 63, the year of our Master, 2002, we conducted our first Shabbat morning worship service in the facility that we had just rented, Maplewood Covenant Church in Maplewood, Minnesota. And I pointed out to you that it seemed like an auspicious occasion for our first service because Hanukkah is considered a day for inauguration. And I remember saying, I've checked the oil supply and there's some bad news. We only have 1 day's supply. We're probably not going to make it. But let's fire this thing up anyway and see what happens. Who knows? Maybe a great miracle will happen here. And 10 years later, I can say with confidence, a great miracle happened. Has happened. Continues to happen. And somehow, here we are, 10 years later, Baruch Hashem. Thank God. And this also marks the 10-year anniversary for me going full-time with First Fruits of Zion. I had been part-time for several years before that. But I began full-time at the same time that we started this congregation. Sort of an amazing convergence of life-changing events. So in view of this occasion, it's appropriate, I think, that we acknowledge the goodness of the Lord, His kindness to us, His patience with us, for crying out loud, and how He has preserved us and sustained us and kept us alive and allowed us to reach this season. I am also eager to thank each one of you, my brothers and sisters, who know the meaning of the word loyalty and who have stood with this community and passed through many tests and trials, yet persevered and remained, as it says in the Torah. All of you who are here today are all alive. Thank God. A great miracle happened there, and a great miracle happened here. Perhaps because we began this venture on Hanukkah, it seems to me that Beth Emmanuel uniquely embodies the spirit of Hanukkah. Messianic Judaism in general, you could say, embodies the concerns of Hanukkah. Because remember that the Greeks in those days wanted to assimilate the Jewish people. They were locked in a cultural war against Judaism. And that's why they made the study of Torah legal. And that's why they forbade circumcision and forbade keeping the Sabbath and forbade observing the dietary laws. Because they wanted to erase the Jewish people and they wanted to erase Judaism. They wanted to extinguish the light of the world. Snuff out the Or Olam, the Ner Tamid, the light of revelation. But the miracle of Hanukkah tells us that the lamp didn't go out. A great miracle happened. A great miracle is happening here. And we are part of that miracle. Here's the situation and the very reason that we exist. As you know, the Jesus of the church, the Jesus of the last 2,000 years of Christianity, misrepresents the real Yeshua of Nazareth, the Jewish Jesus, in some disturbing ways. The Jesus of traditional Christian theology came to abolish the Torah. He came to destroy the temple. He came to cancel the Levitical worship system. He came to end Judaism. He canceled the dietary laws by declaring all foods clean. He canceled the commandment of circumcision. He canceled the Sabbath. He canceled the Jewish people and their place as the people of God. And this is supposed to be good news? This is supposed to be the good news that he brought to Israel. But this is not the Jesus of the Gospels. It is not the Jesus of the Bible. It is a false Messiah, a doppelganger, the spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of Antiochus, the spirit of Caligula, the spirit of Nero, the same spirit that continually tries to snuff out the light of the Torah and the Jewish people. Lies of the adversary, a satanic twisting of truth. I do not mean to say that the Jesus of Christianity is a false Jesus. Not at all. If that was the case, it would be easy. If that was the case, it would be easy. Just cut it off. Cut it off. But that's not the case. Christianity has the real Christ, and that's what makes this so difficult. Christianity has the real Christ, the real deal. But I mean to tell you that Christianity has, in regard to Israel and Judaism, misrepresented the real Christ. You know I'm not church bashing. I mean, you know me well enough after 10 years to know that I'm not one of those people who hate the church. But once in a while, you have to say, here's the situation. Here's the facts. Therefore, the significance of Hanukkah for a congregation like ours is profound. When we celebrate Hanukkah, we are celebrating not just a victory that happened in the past, but one that happens in the future. And is happening right now. The story of Hanukkah is the story of light growing in the darkness, getting stronger, not diminishing. And wherever there is the light of Torah, there is darkness trying to snuff it out. History proves this over and over. But the light is not diminished, it grows. The story of Hanukkah is the story of a war between two worldviews, that of Hellenism and that of Torah. Hellenism, what is it? It is the language of humanism, philosophical theology, relativism, and ultimately secularism. Our society today is the natural consequence. Torah, what is it? It is the language of theism, mitzvot, deeds, and revelation. So I feel like we're part of this Hanukkah revolution, and the reason that this congregation has survived these 10 years is that we are also part of the Hanukkah miracle. This, it turns out, is something God is doing. Sometimes, you know, maybe if you've been here for the 10 years, you might occasionally say, you know, it feels like it's been a war. This feels like a war, and it has. You know, we've had spiritual wars over the direction and identity of this congregation, more than one hijacking attempt, and ideological battles too numerous to mention. And it feels like a war, and it is. because we're part of a revolution. We've taken some very unpopular and revolutionary positions that tend to disenfranchise people. I made a list. Number one, the Jewish people are God's people. Still. And everything that implies, which is a lot. Number two, the Torah is not canceled by the new covenant. Therefore, the Sabbath, the holidays, the whole Bible is still relevant today, and the Old Testament is still online. Number three, Jesus is the Messiah, but he is the Jewish Messiah, and he practiced and taught Judaism, which is a bomb. Number four, Judaism is not obsolete or evil. It is the religion of the Bible. The rabbis are not evil. Jewish tradition is not evil. Jewish literature is not evil. This is a shocker for people. Number five, there is a difference between Jews and Gentile believers, which, as my boss would say in his unguarded moments, well, that went over like a fart in a spacesuit. Number six, Messianic Judaism needs to be authentic. An authentic sect of Judaism. And that entails a liturgical synagogal model, not a popular way to do church. That's a summary of who we are at Beth Emanuel, the stuff we stand for, and why we exist. And every one of those points is controversial, unpopular, and socially expensive. Add to that the pull of the anti-missionary agenda, which is really an anti-gospel agenda, an anti-kingdom, anti-Yeshua, anti-Christ agenda as well, and we have had a rough go of it for the last decade. So I say to you 10 years later, I say to you through 10 years of this journey, Mazel Tov! Yasher Koach! Good job! Well done, good and faithful. God has been good to us. He has taken care of us. He has watched over this community. He has shepherded us. He has revealed so much to us, opened our eyes to his Torah, caused us to return to him in repentance, given us the privilege to rejoice with his people on his holy days, brought us into the Menucha, the Sabbath rest, and best of all, revealed to us the person of his holy Son who ushers us into the kingdom of heaven, who suffered on our behalf, who was buried, who was raised, who ascended, who was seated, and who is coming again, speedily, soon, in our lifetimes. And it's been a rocky ride, but the disciple is not above his teacher, and he had a tough go of it too. He was a controversial character. You know what they did to him? So the water's been a little bit choppy, but as long as you keep your eyes on the one who walks on water, it's not a problem. It's not a problem. And anyway, it's been worth it. Look, as I always like to say, we're on a mission from God. That's why God has you here. That's why he has put us here. That's why he's called us together. There's no shadow of doubt here. There's no question. We are on a mission from God. What's the mission? First and foremost, to defend the character and the reputation and the revelation of his holy son, Yeshua, who's been so terribly misrepresented, so slandered for centuries. And in addition to that, to bring his teachings to the world, to reveal the Torah, to reveal the teaching of Yeshua of Nazareth, to bring the kingdom. And God has placed us in the most unique position to do that. Now, we aren't the only people in the world with this mission, you know what I mean? I mean, this is pretty much the mission that every disciple should have, but we're just in an incredibly unique position to bring so much to the table here. And we aren't the only Messianic congregation in the world either. Instead, we're part of a larger movement of what God is doing in these last days. He's turning the clock back. opening eyes, opening ears, like the story of King Josiah who rediscovered the Torah. Think about it. A mission from God? What? What a privilege. How glad we should be. The Holy One, the Creator, has a job for us? For us? How blessed we are. What's our mission? You know, our mission? You know what our mission is? It's importing the light and revelation of the kingdom into today's world. That's the real gospel message, you know? That's the gospel message of our Master. You have a mission to prepare the body of the Messiah, the whole church, for the end of the era. You have a mission. How does a peasant feel when the king calls him into his into his personal service, puts him on his cabinet and says, he puts him in front of his cabinet and says, we have a task for you. How does the peasant feel? Who didn't even know the king knew he existed. I'll tell you how the peasant feels. He feels like he just won the lottery. Wow, me, the king? The king needs me? He wants me to do something for him? Abba needs us for something. This is terrific. Ashrei, blessed is the man. Blessed is the woman. A mission from God. Life without a purpose is purposeless, isn't it? I mean, when you think about it, that's sort of obvious. Life without a purpose is purposeless. You don't have that problem. If you're part of this community, you've been called. You've been called to be a reformer, a restorer, a repairer, and a revolutionary. It's a big mission. 10 years is hardly enough time to even size up the scope of the job, which is pretty much all we've accomplished so far. But now that we have some perspective on the objective ahead of us, wow, it's amazing. It's like being Abraham or something, you know? Called for a purpose. Now don't get a big head. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's about our Master. It's about the kingdom. We're still the peasant. Peasant might be working for the king. Doesn't make him the king. We might think we're pretty special here, but someday soon this is not going to be special at all. It's going to be mundane because the whole world will be walking in the light of the revelation of Messianic Jerusalem when a new light shines on Zion and the Torah goes forth from Zion, and from one Sabbath to the next, all flesh will worship the Lord. And in that day, this will be nothing special at all. It'll be mundane. So if you get a thrill from being counterculture, if you enjoy being a little bit weird, just a little bit left to center, enjoy it while it lasts. It's not going to last very long. A great miracle will happen there. And that's why, you know, that's why we learn Hebrew. We learn Hebrew here. We use Hebrew in the liturgy, and when we read the Torah, we pray, and we read the Torah, and we use Hebrew. Why? Because in the future, the whole world will speak Hebrew. And it's going to be nothing special. In the days of the Hasmoneans, the Hellenists wanted everyone to learn Greek. They enforced that. So the whole world spoke Greek. That's why we have a Greek New Testament. Because it's the language that the whole world was speaking by then. Is the lingua franca, only it was Greca, it was lingua graca in those days. That's what English is to the world today. The international commerce and trade language today is English. In the days of the apostles, it was Greek because of the days of the Hasmoneans, because of the days of Alexander the Great and his empire. So everybody had to learn Greek. But in the days of the kingdom, it's going to be Hebrew, the Ivrit, and it's going to be nothing special because it's going to be the international language. So remember that Hanukkah memorial, you know, the menorah, you light the menorah, the light of the Hanukkah menorah, we're going to light it tonight, one candle, one lamp tonight, you're going to light it up tonight. Remember, when you see the light, it's supposed to be shining out of the house, you know, it's supposed to be like you can see it from the street, because why? It's a light to the world. Let your light shine before men, the Master says, so they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. And remember that the light is actually spiritually connected, symbolically at least, to the light of the menorah of the Holy Temple that burned in the temple. And that's why it's holy and we can't use it for anything else. Which is a good description of what it means to be a disciple of our Holy Master, what it is to be a disciple. This is what it's all about. He is Or Olam, light of the world. That's what he said. Like the menorah in the temple that cannot be extinguished. You put him out, poof, he comes back. It's like one of those birthday candles. You know, those trick birthday candles? You put the candle out, you blow the candle out, poof, he comes back. You know what I'm talking about? Well, that's what they did to him. They tried to put him out, poof, he came back. And his light shines through us so that we become the light of the world. His light, what is his light that shines through us? Do I look glowy right now? Sparkly, glowy, anything like that? Probably not. But the light that shines through us, and that's metaphorical light, it is the light of his teaching, his life-changing teaching, his teachings of the Torah. Is there anything sweeter than his teachings? His kingdom message, the message of the kingdom of heaven at hand, his life-giving spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit that describes every disciple of Yeshua. It describes every mitzvah that you do, every kind act, every decent thing you do, every observance, every act of faith, every word of Torah, every ceremony of Torah, every word of the Bible, every act of charity, every time we live out the teaching of Yeshua or the example of Yeshua, it's his light shining through us. It's not us. It's his light shining through us. Because we're like the Hanukkah, you know, the nine branch Hanukkah, nothing special. He's like the menorah. It's his light coming through us. The light of the Hanukkah menorah shines. The light of the menorah in the Holy Temple, a light from the past. Beth Emmanuel's like that. You know, this congregation's like that. Paulie says to me, last week he says he wants to put up this Hanukkah on the roof. He's like, he's got this idea that you should be able to come across the bridge, across the St. Croix River, and see what night of Hanukkah it is by looking over at and see how many lights are on. I said, no. Is not going to happen. But anyway, this is. I think it's appropriate. Nevertheless, it's Beth Emmanuel is like a Hanukkah menorah. We are drawing the light, just as the Hanukkah menorah is drawing the light from the menorah of the temple. We are drawing the light of the menorah from the future Beis Hamikdash, the temple of the kingdom, a new light that will shine on Zion or Hadash in the kingdom when it says, arise, shine, your light has come, the glory of the Lord is revealed on you. This is the Or Hadash, the new light, which we hope to channel here at Beth Emmanuel as we proclaim the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The message of the Messianic era. We are importing that light, which is the light of spiritual revelation. We are importing that light from the future into the present, which is why the gospel message is still true today. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. We're importing the light of revelation from Messianic Jerusalem. When all nations will say, and this is in the prophets, you have to deal with this, it's in the prophets. All nations will say, let's go up to Zion and learn Torah. And the Torah will go forth from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Have a happy Hanukkah, happy birthday, Beth Emmanuel.
Take on my yoke and learn from me. And find rest for your soul.